the grandfather of the quality movement, the Toyota production system, he said that the people that are within 12 feet of the work best know what needs to happen to make the improvements, you know. So to Dakota's point, like, those people know what we need to do to make it better.
When you implement their idea, it helps their morale. I mean, yeah. That's something that they thought about and you implemented it and it helps their job out. I mean, it's a win for both.
But the thing too is, you know, the ideas for improvement, they don't have to be anything massive and glamorous or anything like that.
Yeah, some of the best ones are very simple.
I'm pretty sure one, if it didn't win, it was in that top three. It was just a garage door opener.
Yeah, so we got him a radio control like you'd have in your car.
Exactly.
Open the door. Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't have to be anything, you know, highfalutin, fancy.
But showing up to work today and doing your job and bringing us one thing that will make the company better, that gives you a career, you know, and that's the difference.
Hey, Metalworking Nation, Jason Zenger here. Do you know I operate on NetSuite, the ERP when you need one source of truth for all of your data, your CRM, your accounting, your operations, everything. If this is you, you should know these three numbers: 36,000, 25, and 1. 36,000, that's the number of businesses which have upgraded to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, streamlining accounting, financial management, inventory, HR, and more. 25. NetSuite turns 25 this year. That's 25 years of helping businesses do more with less, close their books in days, not weeks, and drive down costs. One, because your business is one of a kind, so you get customized solution for all of your KPIs in one efficient system with one source of truth. Manage your risk, get reliable forecasts, and improve margins. Everything you need all in one place. Right now, download NetSuite's popular KPI checklist designed to give you consistently excellent performance absolutely free at netsuite.com/chips. That's netsuite.com/chips to get your own KPI checklist. netsuite.com/chips. Do it now.
Welcome to Making Sparks, the podcast where we ignite your passion for metal fabrication and fuel your business success. Join industry leaders and dive deep into the world of metalworking. From business insights to tips of the trade, Making Sparks is your forge of knowledge. During each episode, discover success stories, innovative solutions, and expert interviews that light the path to business growth. Subscribe today and grow and improve your company, and let's make sparks fly together.
Welcome back to Making Sparks. We're continuing our conversation with Jack Henry Hagen and Dakota Hunt. I'm Casey Volker, sitting here with my co-host Matthew Nix, and we're talking about what these frontline shop floor leaders in a manufacturing or metal fabrication business, what they can see on the do's and don'ts for like leadership when they're growing or when even for their own career path, things like that. They're giving us some tips and tricks, and we had a previous episode, so go check that out because you're going to be like, oh, why are they referring back to that? So, yeah.
Yeah, and on the last episode, each of these guys told their story a little bit, talked about how they got into the trades, their career development within Nix Industrial, and, you know, they started as literally, you know, entry-level welders and have now evolved into, you know, quality leads, a very significant role in our organization. So, yeah, go back to the last episode. If you didn't hear it, check that out. So, you posed a question to them as we wrapped up. We'll jump right into that. Before we do, you want to go ahead and hit the dad joke?
All right.
Also, on the topic of dads, Dakota is a new dad.
Yeah,
so congratulations.
Thank you.
How old is yours again?
6 months.
Yeah, mine's getting ready to be 6 months. We're talking about whose baby's fatter. So, because that's a good thing for babies to be fat. Like us, no, but babies, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, and I would just say, like, that's a really rewarding part of you know, ownership and leadership is, like, you know, I've got to know Coda, you know, right out of high school pretty well, and now I've got to experience him getting married and having his first kid, and so it's really cool. It's one of the great things about family business.
I agree. Yep. Even though, you know, Mason's probably the guy who edits for us, probably isn't having kids anytime soon, but okay, dad joke. All right. Speaking of kids, my 5-year-old told me this one. So, you know, I don't know when it was, but a few episodes ago, I did one about the chicken crossing the road. And I said, you know, why the chicken crossing the road? And they said, why? And I said, because, you know, because like, because, you know. So my son, you know, remembering that, he goes, Dad, I got a joke. He said, what did the cow say to the car when he was trying to cross the road? I said, what was that? He said, move. And I thought it was really funny because, you know, a little 5-year-old's voice said it. It was funny.
Pretty good. Yeah. For a 5-year-old.
For him to really.
It's better than some of yours.
Yeah, they can applaud that one.
They can applaud that. Yeah. Please applaud that one. It'll make my 5-year-old's confident go up. At the end of last episode, I teased this question. You guys do a lot of like, maybe like if you guys need to submit like an idea for improvement, you guys have a form to do that and different things like that. Like, what does that mean to you guys to know that you guys are being heard that in that way? Does that make sense? Like, I think that's a pretty cool thing that like each, I mean, and a lot of times those ideas of improvement get implemented as long as like whoever submits it or if, like the people that are responsible for it have the capabilities to implement it and they get implemented. What's that mean to you that they listen to that? Obviously, I'm around the Knicks Industrial Shop every once in a while. And one of the things, we actually just shot a video of it just because we wanted to kind of show it. But there's a reason behind that is because we wanted to brag about it, which is the ability that you guys have a form where you guys can submit ideas for improvement. And my question was, what's that mean to you guys? And you know, should other leaders implement that in their shops where the guys that are on the shop floor are able to actually submit ideas for improvement? And then not only that, like they get implemented. What's that mean to you guys?
It's pretty cool. The form, you can access it on your phone. It's pretty easy to fill out.
Well, we started with paper too. I mean, it wasn't always on the phone.
Yeah.
It was a slip of paper and you can still do that.
You can fill out your idea and you can fill out the problem. And we have a sheet in our shop that says where the like process is at, like, is it completed? Is it awaiting this item? And honestly, I think it's all of ours get implemented unless it's just like a really ridiculous item, but I don't, we don't have many.
Or if it's really expensive, it will then move. We will move it to the future capital, you know, capital equipment request, you know, so it can kind of go a couple of different directions. But and so you fill out what the problem is and then what a idea for the solution is. And then we also track them in buckets of safety, quality, and efficiency. So those are the three buckets that we're always looking for ideas around: safety, quality, and efficiency. Each of those.
And they can be all three.
Right. Great point. Some of them can hit two of the three or three of the three. Some of the best ones hit all three. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, and do you guys like being able to do that? I mean, I could see some teamers being like, maybe they don't do it because like, oh man, it's too much. Like, but I will say, I feel like the culture at Knicks is that you guys are trying to improve. So therefore.
Well, if you're working on the shop floor, wouldn't you want it to improve? You're the ideas, you know, your manager doesn't know exactly what you need. So if you're filling out these, then it's telling him, hey, you know, let's find the solution to this. Maybe what he said is the best option and maybe this one's the best option. Let's talk about it.
Yeah, the I can't think of his name right now, but he was the kind of the grandfather of the quality movement and the Toyota production system. A lot of the listeners are like thinking, why can he not think of his name? That's terrible. But anyways, he said that the people that are within 12 feet of the work best know what needs to happen to make the improvements, you know? And so that's a lot of the foundation behind, you know, the Toyota production system. But to Dakota's point, like those people know what we need to do to make it better.
When you implement their idea, it helps their morale. I mean, that's something that they thought about and you implemented it and it helps their job out. I mean, it's a win for both.
But I think to your question, Casey, you were hitting on something there. I mean, what about the folks that are like, man, just let me do my job and leave me alone. And believe me, they're out there. And I mean, you can tolerate a certain amount of that within your organization, but the overwhelming, at least for our culture, the overwhelming majority of folks need to have that belief and that want to improve. And I tell them all the time, I said, listen, you know, just showing up to work every day and doing your job like that, that gets you a paycheck, But showing up to work today and doing your job and bringing us one thing that will make the company better, that gives you a career, you know, and that's the difference. One will give you a job, one will give you a career. So if you want to, you know, move up in an organization or just make more money, you've got to be thinking about how do we make this place better for all of us. What about Jack? What ideas do you have around that topic?
Honestly, I was, you know, what Dakota said is basically what I was thinking too. I was just going to touch more on, yes, the idea for improvement is beneficial for people on the shop floor, but it's really beneficial for, you know, the people that are inside the office that don't get out on the floor, you know, very often because they don't know everything that we need or, you know, what's going on. So that kind of just shines a light on what is happening that they might not know about. To me, I think that is, if you don't have any idea what's going on in the shop, then what are you even doing? You know, you gotta have full awareness of, you know, how your company is running. And I think the idea for improvement just kind of gives a little bit of a push on, well, we're doing it this way. It'd be better if we did it this way. Or, you know, we got to do this job. It'd be easier or more beneficial to use this tool, but we don't have it. So, you know, let's talk about how we can get the ball rolling that we can have something like that.
Yeah. What would you say is essential to have a good idea for improvement program? Overall, what are the essential parts of it? And what do you think could undermine it? Or what is most frustrating about it?
I think tracking it is like the biggest part of it. Just having like where it's at and showing that to everyone so they know. And if your manager isn't completing it, you know, you're able to see that and you're able to stay on them about it. Yeah.
Yeah. So we have a system and it's transparent.
Yep.
Yep. I would absolutely agree. That's critical to it.
I think some Jack Henry mentioned, you know, a lot of shop owners, when they're getting out of the shop, you know, one of the things that they probably think about is like, I mean, the idea for improvement is like right up the alley with you guys being like on quality control. And like for them, we're going to assume that these guys are stepping out of the shop. They have people like you that are talented fabricators or whoever being able to actually do the job. But to keep a pulse on what's going on in there, not just like, I know you do a lot of like, you know, your red, green, like just to see what's going on in each shop. But even like the idea for improvement is a good way to engage those people to keep a pulse on what's going on. Does that make sense? Like they're able to know like, oh, that these guys are keeping an eye out for what's holding them back in the shop. So
what do you think, Jack? Some essential things about a good idea program, or what are maybe some, what do you think things that would undermine it or that could be frustrating?
Them not being completed would be frustrating.
Yeah, but what helps, you know, now that we went to that you can fill it out on the iPad, you know, before we were just writing down on a piece of paper and how we did, I don't know how y'all did it, but we just stuck it up on the board and, you know, we had a piece of paper for ideas for improvement that were on the board for a month and nothing was happening, you know, but you have it on the iPad and you hit submit. Well, it gets sent directly to, you know, your ops manager or, you know, the GM or whoever, and, you know, they can directly see it versus, you know, they just happen to be walking past the board and just glance up there. You know, I feel like there's been a whole lot more ideas for improvement completed now that we've switched to doing it on the iPads or on your phone or how you know, we do it digitally versus, you know, just writing down on paper.
You mentioned not getting completed, but so you're talking about something that's been approved but not completed.
Yes. Yeah. But I think another thing to drive that is if you have multiple business units, like making it a competition between the managers, like, hey, who can put the most ideas?
Yep. We do that. Each of our business units, we track who's implemented the most ideas and made a contest out of it.
Also, something you do is the best continuous improvement idea at the biennial meeting, you give them money.
It's like recognition. Just a drive.
Yeah.
In front of everybody. So everybody gets to see their idea.
So every 6 months, we bring the entire organization together for a meeting, and we will put the best three ideas up on the screen for everybody to see. We talk about them, and then we pick one, and they get a cash award and then a little certificate.
But the thing too is, you know, the ideas for improvement, they don't have to be anything massive and glamorous or anything like that.
Yeah, some of the best ones are very, very simple.
Well, I mean, I think, I don't know, it was probably 4 years ago or something. I'm pretty sure it won. If it didn't win, it was in that top three. It was just a garage door opener. We have overhead doors in the shop, and our forklift drives in and out all day long. Well, before, he had to get out of the truck and he had to jump or, you know, go inside
the
shop.
Go push the button.
Go push the button. You know, it's simple stuff.
So we got
him
a radio control like you'd have in your car.
Exactly.
Open the door.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't have to be anything, you know, highfalutin, fancy, glamorous. You know, it's just, it can be simple. Just little things that makes everything a little bit easier, you know.
This is your Sparks of Knowledge for this episode. My name is Adam Schmidt with ProFab Alliance. And today I want to talk about when we make that transition from the word of mouth style of business development into more branding and marketing. One thing that you can start with today is get on Facebook and develop your social media page. Before you start putting content out there, you need to once again understand what are your values, what are your beliefs. You know, what's the image that you want to portray on social media? You know, this is your time to really get the message out in a way that you want to really show off your work and your team members and just everything that your business is about. There's going to be one person that sees it that says, I do need that. You know, you're going to find one new person or hopefully several that are going to use your business. And then hopefully that's a satisfied customer and they're going to tell people and those people are going to tell people. It just amplifies that core part of your business development just a little bit more. And you're able to take that more into your own hands.
So one of the things that I think is frustrating that we didn't touch on, it's a pet peeve of mine that I'm preaching all the time, is that if we don't approve something, because not everything gets approved, if we don't approve something, or if there's going to be a delay in implementing it, we've got to implementing it. We have to communicate that back to the team. So I feel like nothing undermines the process more than you ask people to submit ideas and it's like crickets. So if we say no to an idea, we need to tell them why we said no. You know, there might be something bigger at play. And I'll give a really funny example about that here in a minute. Or if, hey, it's been approved, but the budget's not there for that yet, or XYZ, you know, communicate that. So it's so, so critical. So what happens is when these guys submit an idea for improvement, like they said, it's digital now, but even when it was paper, it goes from that into a spreadsheet. The spreadsheet's sorted by business unit and manager. We have one person that's responsible for that overall. And then we have a meet. I think they meet monthly. All the business unit managers and the person responsible for the overall program meets monthly. They go through the sheet, approved, not approved, and then let's get the fee. And also, a lot of things don't even need to go to that meeting for approval. You know, there's a lot of things that are well within the authority of the manager. Just do it, and it's done and implemented for the. It'll still be in the sheet in the meeting. It'll say, you know, submitted, completed, done, or submitted, approved, in process. The bigger stuff will go through a little approval process. So we're constantly making sure that that's happening. So that's really key. But a great story about why it's so important to communicate. At one of our shops, when you would come out of the door, the overhead door, and make a turn with the fork truck, the concrete wasn't wide enough, and the tire on the fork truck kept falling off the corner of the concrete. They wanted to pour a little bit more concrete there. Great idea. It wasn't going to cost a lot of money. It was a good thing. Well, nothing happened. And no one communicated that to them. Luckily, I had one of my monthly listening sessions where I sit down with our shop and have lunch without the manager there. And they brought this up to me and they were so frustrated. Well, what they didn't know was we had plans to not only do that, but put a wider garage door in. We were going to rip the whole door out and make it wider because that was also a pinch point. And we weren't going to pour concrete, because we were going to be tearing all this out and putting the door in and then pouring a whole new concrete approach, right? So there was a lot bigger picture that they just didn't know about. And all I had to do was tell them, like, well, yeah, that makes perfect sense. So we just have to communicate these things. And that'll undermine your program if you don't.
So I'm going to change gears a little bit here. Something that we had put on our little list here to kind of talk to you guys about is, and I'll just ask each one of y'all talk, or I'll start with Jack Henry Hagen here is, I like to say your name, your whole name. It's fun. what's been the most rewarding part of working in this industry?
There's lots. So it's really hard for me to just pinpoint one, but I guess if I had to pinpoint one, what it would be, how you can be young but still respected. And, you know, I'm 26 years old. I don't know everything. I don't have near the experience that a 50-year-old that's been doing this for, you know, 25 years. But the company looks at me and has their full respect and trust in me and my judgment. Knowing what we build hospitals, we build banks, you know, and my position is to make sure that it is done correctly and it's going to be safe. And knowing that in my career of 6 years with Nick's, you know, I've helped thousands and thousands of people and I'll never even meet them. But, you know, having a good quality product that people can rely on is what is most important to me. And being able to drive down the road and be like, well, we built that building. You know, there's a part of me in that. And it's satisfying.
Yeah, it's awesome. Yeah, good luck following that up, Dakota.
Well, I pretty much had the same thing. I mean, my wife gets so mad at me because I'll be like, you know, I built that, or I had a hand in that, or even going down the road, you know, if I see something, I'll point it out and she's like, you know, I don't care, but I care. You know, I'm always looking for that. But just making sure that a customer's happy is like, if I hear that a customer really liked a job, that's the most fulfilling part. I mean, you never want to hear that they're mad about a job or that the quality didn't go right. And when it does go good, it feels great. When it doesn't, it feels terrible. But that's the most fulfilling part for me is, you know, fulfilling a customer's needs.
I'm going to kind of go off of what Jack Henry said was, you know, the respect and things. And we're talking to these leaders of shops and they're hiring young people. I mean, what do you guys think about them? I would you recommend they hire young people? You guys were talking about, you said like high schoolers, but I mean, even people that maybe have been at another job for a couple of years, but then two, you know, how important is it that they, obviously you want them to say, obviously they should respect you, but like to have a culture of like respect, I guess is the right question.
Well, I would say, in the time that I've been with the company, there have been more people stay that are young than people that are older. You know, people that have been in this industry for years, they are kind of set in their ways. You know, they learned how to do this way. And to them, this is the only way. And they can have a bad attitude about how we do things. And they're not as receptive. I just think that with a young mind, you can mold it to how you want it to be. As far as your vision of your company, it's easier for them to become what you want out of them versus trying to make somebody more force them. You know what I'm saying? It's just,
yeah.
There's been a whole lot more people leave that are over 40 and then under like 30, you know, the younger people stay, the older people tend to leave.
Well, on the topic of respect, if there are any listeners out there that are, you know, entry level or production floor folks and not the owners and leaders, what I would like to say to that is we often mistake respectful for respect, right? They're very similar words, but they're different. Like, so when someone comes into our organization, and they're young and they're new, I need to be respectful, meaning, you know, I need to treat them with dignity and be open to, you know, where they come from and what, you know, lack of knowledge they have or knowledge they have and just be kind, right? And be open. But the respect that I have for these two gentlemen was earned over time, right? So you never want to be disrespectful, But it's phony to talk about that there's some degree of respect that's not there because it hasn't been earned. That's like true. These guys show up for work pretty much every day and they do what's asked of them and more. That develops a tremendous degree of respect. And hopefully they reciprocate that respect for me because I'm there for them and they know I care, you know, and I screw up all the time, but they know that I'm trying to do right by them and trying to make the organization better. You know, they're not going to respect me the day they walk in the door. Hopefully they're respectful, but I can't expect someone that walked in the door to respect me, right? I have to earn that with them. And so I think everybody needs to remember that. And that, you know, if you're an owner, you know, hopefully you take that away. But also if you're a shop floor team member, like, you got to earn it. You got to show up every day. You got to do what's asked of you. You know, if you call in sick four times in the first 30 or 90 days you've been here, it's like, no, the level of respect's not going to be there. You know, so you just got to earn it.
You know, something to kind of tie back to the first episode, we talked about one of the very beginning things when we talked about Dakota leaving and he came back and you said, you know, he left the right way and things.
And so I respected that.
Yeah, that. And I was going to say, you know, one of the big topics right now is like loyalty, right? But it's not, it's like employees, you just read it all the time. Like employees aren't loyal to the companies work for, but then a lot of employees will say, well, our company's loyal to you and things like that. But the big thing we've talked about in other episodes is, and it's a big believer in me. I'm not from the metal fabrication industry, but every job I've had, it always felt like my bosses wanted me to succeed. They knew that I was coming in every day and I was going to do whatever I could to make their company succeed. I wasn't like conditional. I wasn't trying to be conditional, but looking back, I probably was because they were giving me the opportunity to grow within that company. And I let, like I jumped jobs a lot. Right. But like I had that opportunity where, people didn't hold me back. And I guess what I'm bringing that up is like, you know, you obviously didn't hold it against Dakota for leaving. And then he came back and now he says he knows that this is where he wants to be, or at least do. Obviously we're pumped that he's at Nick's Industrial, but more pumped is that he's in the metal fabrication industry. Right.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Awesome. Well, any last thoughts, guys, as we wrap up here? Anything you want to share with listeners about your career journey and or just in general?
I mean, the only thing that I can think of is you got to put in the effort, you know. You can make a very, very good career and work your way up high into a company, but you can't do it by just dragging your feet, you know. And the other thing, too, is if you start with a company and you want to move up, you need to let them know, too. You can't just sit there and be like, well, I've been with the company for 3 years and I'm in the same damn position that I was 3 years ago. Why am I not here? You got to be verbal about it. You know, you got to talk to your ops manager. You got to talk to, you know, somebody and be like, hey, this is the company that I want to invest my time and my life in. Let's talk about a pathway where I can continue to build up into this company and, you know, invest myself and time and, you know, let's get something going here. You know, you just got to be very verbal and don't be afraid to speak up.
Yeah, absolutely. Dakota?
I do like his point about, you know, working hard, it'll put you into good situations and being verbal to your managers about wanting to move up. You know, I'm always verbal to you on that. I want to take your job.
Yeah, literally, I think the only person in the company that said that to me yet, he said, I want your job one day. I said, that's awesome. You sure as hell aren't going to get it if you don't want it.
To keep working hard. But.
Well, good stuff, guys. Thank you for joining
us. Thanks for having us on.
Thank you.
It's been fun.
Awesome. I guess to close it out, Matthew told me that I need to always say this. If you like it or don't like it, rate our episode. If you like it or you don't like it, review it so that we can know how to improve. And mainly, if you like it, share it with your friends on social media, share it with other fabrication leaders. Because that's what we're doing this episode, or that's what we're doing this show for, is to hopefully bring some value to metal fabrication leaders, maybe a little bit of entertainment. And I just, you know, I had on my report card all the time, I talk too much. So that's also why I'm doing a podcast. So,
and also give some love to our sponsors. You know, we have some great sponsors that are all, you know, integral parts of the metalworking nation. And so, just check them out, you know, and we don't have any sponsors that we don't believe in as good organization. So show them love too.
Definitely. Awesome.
Thank you.